Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for rejoining this conference. We now have a presentation, and delighted, my honour to be doing a short interview after the presentation with Giulio Alessandrini. He's the Director of Venues and Infrastructure for the Milan Cortina 2026 Organising Committee for the Olympic and Paralympic Winter Games. And his area of specialism today is overlay infrastructure for the Games. So over to you, Giulio. Cheers. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. Sorry to have interrupted your coffee break. It's great being here. Really, really thank you, Ben, for the invite. Great to be here among so many industry professionals. The aim of my presentation will be to give you some insight of the Milano Cortina Master Plan and explain you a bit more in detail some of the key venues that form part of these fantastic games. I'll start with a short video to help bring in some Winter Olympic vibes into this nice room.
Milano Cortina 2026, the first widespread Olympic and Paralympic Games. A unique opportunity for communication and prestige. 13 Olympic competition venues, 5 Paralympic competition venues, and great unforgettable ceremonies. 16 Olympic and 6 Paralympic disciplines. 2 million spectators expected on site. 2,900 Olympic and 600 Paralympic athletes from more than 90 countries. In Milano. Milano Ice Skating Arena. Short track and figure skating. Milano Speed Skating Stadium. Speed skating. Milano Santa Giulia Ice Hockey Arena, men's ice hockey and para ice hockey. Milano Ro Ice Hockey Arena, women's ice hockey. In Cortina, at the Cortina Curling Olympic Stadium, curling and wheelchair curling. At the Tofane Alpine Ski Center, women's alpine skiing and para-alpine skiing. At the Cortina Para Snowboard Park, para snowboard. In Bormio. At the Stelvio Ski Center, men's alpine skiing and the new discipline, ski mountaineering. In Livigno, at the Livigno Snowpark and Livigno Air Park, snowboard and freestyle skiing. In Predazzo and Tesero, at the Predazzo Ski Jumping Stadium, ski jumping and Nordic combined. At the Tesero Cross Country Skiing Stadium, cross country skiing, Nordic combined and paranordic skiing. The Olympic Biathlon will take place at Anter Silva Biathlon Arena. The great ceremonies at the Milano San Siro Olympic Stadium. Opening ceremony of the Olympic Winter Games. At the Verona Olympic Arena, closing ceremony of the Olympic Winter Games. And opening ceremony of the Paralympic Winter Games. At the Cortina Olympic Stadium, closing ceremony of the Paralympic Winter Games. The 2026 Winter Games. The most important sporting events of the next decades in Italy. A better world through sport. This is the dream on which the Olympic spirit is based. Making it happen is possible. Starting with Milano Cortina 2026.
All right, so hope you enjoyed that. Master plan. I won't repeat myself, you've seen enough from the video, but one thing that I'd like to stress and bring to attention, because it will impact the way that the whole Olympics are run, is distances. You can see clearly now, and you've seen in the video, distances will play a key part in these games. The duality concept of having city and mountain really doesn't apply to Milano Cortina, because we have city, which is Milano, and then we have multiple mountain ranges. We have Cortina, we have Val di Fiemme, we have Valtellina. To give an idea roughly on distances, from Milano to Cortina is 6 hours by car on good conditions. From Milano to Valtellina is 3.5. Again, from the same cluster, Livigno and Bormio, is 1 hour by car with, again, no snow. So that will impact the way that we approach the games from every point of view, from hospitality to ticketing, and as well how we plan infrastructure. The Paralympic Master Plan will have 4 out of 5 clusters still lit up, everyone with the exception of Valtellina. With this presentation, I'd like to give you a bit of an insight on some key venues that form part of the Master Plan, really highlighting what are the infrastructure works that will be required to change these venues, to actually make them an Olympic venue. In Milan, there will be, as you understood, very much the key action. We'll have hockey, we'll have all the ice sports, we'll have speed skating, figure skating, short track, but also ceremonies and also a village and the main media center. Starting from the opening ceremony in San Siro is a well-known iconic stadium that, again, it will need to be adapted to the needs of an opening ceremony. So from every aspect, I mean, every venue that we know will have to be changed and make it actually bespoke to host the games. I also attached a few plans just to give you an idea on the stage of planning where we are. We're at the moment at a stage that we call V3. So we just released the venue technical design book. Number 3. I'll talk a bit more about this venue because it's actually quite interesting, the Milano Ice Park. So this venue is a product of two capital infrastructure projects that were planned during bid but were not going ahead, which is speed skating and hockey. Actually, we see this as an opportunity because I'll talk about it later more. We will use an existing conference center and we will adapt it to pretty much what it's been done in summer sports. So a classic London Excel, it was actually readapted with temporary works to make it bespoke for summer sports. We try to do the same now with Winter Olympics. So we're going to use 8 pavilions basically 4 for speed skating, 4 for hockey. These pavilions will be fully fit out with only temporary works. And I mean everything, starting from ice, temporary tribunes, lighting, but also air quality treatment, dehumidification, which is key on such sport, especially on speed skating. This is something that we had long discussions with the IOC and with the federations to propose this new model that we do hope that will pave the way also for future hosts, because this way you could potentially avoid building new infrastructure, but use existing ones that will be changed with temporary works that will be dismantled entirely after the games. Moving to the mountains, moving to Cortina, a couple of venues here just to show some examples. This is actually one that I personally really like, which is the only Olympic stadium in our master plan. This venue was used in 1956 for the past Winter Olympic Games in Cortina. It's a very unique and challenging stadium, given the fact that it will be used for curling and for closing ceremony for Paralympics. It has all the original features from 70 years ago. So I let you imagine the challenges that we will have to readapt such venue to meet accessibility needs, but also to meet sport technical needs. We all know that curling has a very high demand for dehumidification and perfect ice conditions. One of the most amazing venues is Tofani Alpine Center, so women alpine skiing. It is well known worldwide, and it hosts every single year a World Cup. So greenfield side here. So again, looking at who in the room could be responsible for delivering some of the overlays, this is really a greenfield side. There's nothing there apart from one chalet, so we do need to readapt in a very high-challenging mountain environment to transform basically a Finnish area into a world-class Olympic venue. Antarselva is one of the, let's say, probably is the one venue that doesn't really worry me, simply because there's a long-lasting history of biathlon here. It's a world-class biathlon arena, and there are capital infrastructure projects to make this arena even better, including field of play works, commentator cabins, and lighting upgrades. Going on to Valtellina Cluster will be the home of freestyle sports. So again, talking about engagement, we talked a lot about how to engage young people, new generations. I do hope that young people will really take the opportunity to visit Valtellina in 2026, because it will be the home of really exciting sports. We have big air, slopestyle, halfpipe, moguls, aerials, all really condensed in two iconic locations. I'll start, though, by a quick parenthesis on the Stelvio Alpine Center, which is also in Valtellina, in the city of Bormio. So Bormio, as you probably know, is home of one of the most challenging ski slopes in the world, Stelvio. The challenge here is that it lands really much into the city center. So imagine that the city of Bormio has 3,000 inhabitants, and we are building a venue capable of hosting nearly 8,000 spectators. So just how this tiny mountain village will become the center of the world for 1 week. Imagine how under pressure this whole infrastructure will be, but like not just from my side, but from transport, accommodation, and all sorts of elements. Going to Valtellina, Livigno in particular, these are the iconic venues that I'd like to present to you. This will be called Mottolino Snow Park. So in Mottolino, the uniqueness is that in one venue, so in one perimeter, we will have five disciplines and five field of plays, with big air, parallel grand slalom, slope style, half pipe, and cross. Just a quick view that we developed, I think it gives you an idea what the amount of work that will be required. Everything you see here mostly will be temporary. Some of the facilities, such as half pipe, will have the capacity of being reused, but the majority of the works will be done with artificial snow production and temporary overlays. Again, talking about the expertise that we need to deliver such venues, temperatures in Livigno, they go quite often below minus 20 in winter, and it's pitch black at 4 p.m. So again, talk about operations, talking about maintenance, talking about the complexity that a delivery like this will bring is something that I want to stress, because we are really looking for partners that are capable to deliver such project at Olympic level. Going to Val di Fiemme. Val di Fiemme has a long-lasting history of winter sports, with annual events of ski jumps and cross-country. In particular, I'll present to you briefly the Predazzo Ski Jumping Stadium in Predazzo, where basically the ski jumps will be renovated. This is a very straightforward project for a very high-risk venue for past events, which is ski jumps. The community itself embraced this project. It's something that it was supposed to happen no matter... despite the Olympics, but the Olympics has been a driver. Works on site have started, they are on track, and they will give the chance not only to host world-class ski jumping event, but to leave a long-lasting legacy that will be used for years to come in Val di Fiemme. Last but not least, Arena di Verona. This is a monument, it's not really a venue. As you know, it's a Roman amphitheater that will host a closing ceremony for Olympics and opening for Paralympics. Again, talking about complexity, I'll let you imagine how complex it would be to deliver Olympic ceremonies in such venue, where everything is World Heritage. You can't touch a single stone, as you can imagine. But this is a fact of the ceremony to be designed around the venue and not the other way around. So really to embrace the existing and to only do minimal works in order to host a world-class ceremony. Again, starting from mountains, city, and here is the city center with a very high congested area where we will have to deliver again temporary works with the aim of really leaving busy of not touching really anything and just altering what we need for the Olympics. Briefly on villages, this concept of a broad master plan applies to villages as well. So we'll not just have obviously one village in Milano, but we'll have actually six villages. The key villages will be in Milan, in Predazzo, and in Cortina, but the three more will be called athletes accommodations. So we're going to use actual hotel accommodations to host athletes and technical officials. So again, how this master plan affects everything, this is a clear example. The last two slides are a bit more were the important ones for me, where I really like to explain to everyone in the room, especially to potential contractors that will be involved in the games, what our delivery model is. This introduction hopefully helped you understand the complexity of the games and especially the reasons why we chose this delivery model. Pretty similar to what was done in Torino 2006, we tried to adopt a general contractor delivery model. There are multiple reasons, and one of the key ones is that actually the market of Italy and Europe is very familiar with this delivery model. Geography will play a very key part of it. Status of planning means that the planning is ongoing. I mean, we know, I mentioned that we are doing V3 now, but there will be V4, V5, and V6. So we need to really face the fact that the only constant in this world is change. So to manage changes, manage it with five, six really experienced companies, that's key for us. What we are looking really is experienced contractors. I talked about just briefly some challenges with weather conditions, and this is something that really will have to be taken into account within our infrastructure programs. I talked about temperatures, but also I'll let you imagine the challenges related to hydraulics. We'll have to provide hot water in the middle of the mountain in Livigno. The labor that will have to play a part in this will have to be experienced. I mean, for such installations, you will have to face much adversity with heavy weathers, heavy winds. And also part of overlay works, one of the big elements is certifications. These all different territories all have different approaches on regulations. And I'll let you imagine how critical it will be to plan for snow loads, wind loads. So all the structural calculations will have a big impact on how this model is delivered. Last but not least, timeline. So we are now standing here and you know, if I look at my watch or the calendar, it still say 2023, but really the games are behind the corner. We just published the VDB3, as I said, and we are planning on releasing all the key tenders packages by mid next year. The target is really to have all the key contractors on board by the end of next year. The main reason, there are multiple reasons, is because one of the key test event periods is already in the beginning of 25. So obviously we want to have the same contractors that would deliver the games on board to deliver the test events. And also, only a few months later, we will start installing the MMC. So the main media center in Milan will have a very long install period, also because we have to hand over the venue to OBS quite early. So I'll let you imagine publication in December, tender mid-year, contract sign-off end of next year, and then the works will start for some contractors 2 months later. And then the majority of the works for all venues will start within September and October of 25. Final test events in the end of 25, and finally, games time, beginning of 26. Thank you. Grazie a tutti.
Well, thanks, Julia. Great to see the timeline there of procurement and works ahead, and great to see that you're looking for experienced contractors, of which I'm sure there are many in the room, and it looks like we've got you just the right time before you start to get involved in that stage. Also great to see the detail of the works that need to be done. Most of it looks to be temporary infrastructure. So what would you say are the advantages of using temporary infrastructure for a project of this scale?
Well, thank you, Ben. As I pointed out, Rho Fiera Avenue is a classic example. In my mind, either you have a very high demand for winter sport activities as a country, as a city, or you are in risk of delivering a huge infrastructure like it happened in the past. Oval is a clear example, but also hockey arenas. Italy is big in winter sports, but not big in ice sports. Therefore, I think is a very important decision to not to invest in facilities that don't have a legacy plan, but rather invest into temporary works using the latest technologies in order to avoid really huge maintenance costs that you might incur post games, but rather use temporary facilities, temporary infrastructure, temporary ice rinks that will be used during the games and then dismantle entirely afterwards.
Well, that's the thing about the Olympic Games, of course, it happens four times a year in a different place every year, unless, of course, things change in the future, which there have been conversations about potentially permanent hosts or rotating hosts. But for the time being, we assume that it will continue to move from one location to the other. But these host locations also host a range of other events as well, championships and smaller events as well. So what kind of skills and expertise do you need most to help you to deliver the Olympic and Paralympic Games, and how do they differ from the requirements of, for example, championships or other events that ski resorts host more regularly?
Yeah, so in Bormio, for example, or in Tofane or Val di Fiemme, as I said, they run yearly World Cups. These yearly World Cups, though, are more familiar events. They are low-key compared to the Olympics, and I'm saying this as a positive. We don't want every event to be like the Olympics. The Olympics is a once every 30, 50 years event. Well, every year, the events that are run in these villages, in these mountain locations, they are actually quite simple. You can normally ski all the way to the field of play, right next to the finish line, and enjoy the event. There's no secure perimeter, there's no secure requirements, and normally the installation period is very compressed. The challenge that we have to also engage with local communities is to explain that for the Olympics, it's really a different beast. Normally, if you install tents, cabins, or tribunes, you install them in the beginning of January for an event that is 20 days, or sometimes even 10 days later. The partners that we look for the Olympics are actually partners that are more capable of delivering world-class events. That means that the installation period sometimes starts in September, October, as I highlighted. And also all the certifications, calculations that you have to provide are far greater. The number of design reviews, the number of reconciliations of shop drawings from contractors, that's something that normally doesn't happen in this event, which it doesn't mean that it's a bad thing, but it just simply means that for the Olympics, you need to have more experience, more expertise that sometimes local, smaller companies are not capable to achieve.
Mm. And thinking about the future of the Olympic Games and the Winter Olympic Games as well, what impact would you say that climate change is going to have and is indeed having on 2026? It's happening now. We're observing the effects of it everywhere, particularly in the most visibly in the mountains, as other speakers, Sarah, you alluded to that yesterday.
I mean, obviously, climate change, it's a hot topic. I mean, the Winter Olympics rely on environment, rely on climate. And it's no secret. I mean, we're all in danger. This event is in danger. All of us are. I'll be a bit focused on what infrastructure impact it will have, and what are we doing also to try to face it. again, Sarah talked yesterday about how these mountain villages thrive on tourism. And tourism, the first and only means of tourism is really ski resorts. So no snow, no ski resorts, no tourism, no economy. So what are we doing, which is good for the games, but we hope also for the future, is improving on snowmaking technologies. So we use the latest technologies to actually do capital infrastructure project for to improve snow production, including building new water basins to help not only for the Olympics, but to leave a snow system, a snow production system that can be used in the future. And the second example is something a bit more technical, but to let you understand that we have to plan the zero level. So we have to plan how much snow will it be in 2026. So we do use a system looking back at 50 years of data, but we really don't know how much snow there will be in 2026. So we will try to plan it as best as possible to cater for our overlay works. Means that we have to cater for how high a camera platform is, how much snow will it be in front of a tribune to understand what height to plan. And at the moment, we can only do a best guess. Vancouver 2010 was a classic example, which there was a heavy snowfalls in 2009 and 2011, but 2010 there was no snow. So we can only do as much to plan in advance and to try to react to climate change as well.
Driving and reacting to change. There you go. Thank you very much, Giulio.
Thank you.
Great to chat with you. And thanks for listening.